This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a special guest with us, Ray Hespin. How are you, Ray?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, Joni and Sean. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. So I'll give you a brief bio on Ray. So Ray is an entrepreneur and an engineer with a deep passion rooted in problem solving. Ray was born in Wyoming and studied to become an engineer in South Dakota. He fell in love for the area and never wanted to leave. However, due to the nature of his career, he had to move away for a better opportunity. Ray's ultimate goal was to move back to the Midwest, but he knew he had to create his own path in order to live the dream in South Dakota. The concept of Property Meld was born after Ray co-founded David. Him and David both shared similar negative experiences as renters. They knew there had to be a better way for property management companies to coordinate maintenance issues. Ray took this opportunity to create a solution to this problem that would change the game for coordinating maintenance for every party involved. Founded in 2015, Property Meld is a software company on a mission to deliver a positive maintenance experience while intelligently improving efficiency and oversight. Today, the software has logged over 1 million maintenance requests. As CEO and co-founder of Property Meld, Ray still never stops problem solving. He loves digging for innovative data to prove the maintenance process and is always learning how to improve operational efficiency and sharing how companies can leverage maintenance to be the greatest financial growth opportunity. Again, Ray, thanks again for joining us today. I love the story that you shared with me early on and how you adopted Property Meld and the negative experience you and your buddy had. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, so I've realized how many strikes are on my bio. I'm from Wyoming, South Dakota. And by the way, the worst reason to start a business. But anyways, no, so my background's in manufacturing. So some people know this about me and many don't. I'm actually a mining engineer. So I got my start in 2009 in the construction materials, which by the way, if you're gonna be in construction materials, you could not have picked a worse time to get started in that. So I was in the cement business. I moved all across the country. I lived in every time zone within 6 years. And so I rented from a lot of different places in order to do that. And so my co-founder one day called me. I was in Baltimore at the time. And he said, he was talking about his maintenance experience, what he went through. And he's like, has it ever been any better for you? And I'm like, man, I'm handy enough. I don't even bother. If I can fix it, I'll just fix it. And just, it's not even worth the hassle. And so that was kind of the impetus to say, wow, could this be done in a better way? And did a bit of market research and talked to a lot of different property managers and realized, man, there's something here.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's a neat story. And had you had any property management experience other than just being
no property management experience. You know, and it's terrible because everybody wants to, you know, say, you know, I just came from that world and really, really came in swinging. But I think what's kind of unique is in the cement business, like basically every plant that I went to was like, how do you cut costs? You got to maintain the same quality. You got to manage the environmental and safety standards. And so everything that I did was all these different plants that I went to, I ultimately just looked at the process and go, how can we sharpen this up? How can we make it less human capital thing while living within our constraints? And so I was able to take my years of doing that and just looked at the property management maintenance process. And I actually have I actually came out with this little tidbit. So this is the original business plan.
Wow.
Don't read it. It's embarrassing. But ended up coming up with the rat's nest of a workflow that is property management maintenance and said, you know, we should be able to do something here. And so that's, it was more of the process mind, not as much the background in real estate itself.
Yeah. Cool. Can you explain how the, just so somebody that maybe owns a property management company, they don't know about you yet, or
how does it all work?
New to the industry? Yeah. How does it work? Tell us a little bit about the software.
So Property Meld, the term literally means to combine. Well, what we realized early on in property management maintenance, you've got the residents, you got the property manager, you've got the investor, the owner, you've got the vendor, and you've got the technician. Oftentimes where a lot of the things that fall through the cracks is some things happening on the exterior and some other people needing to know. And so what we did was we built a maintenance platform that brought all those parties together, streamlined the communication, scheduling, and follow-up, and automated a lot of what we call kind of like tier one activities, that, you know, the troubleshooting, the follow-up, verification of completion, all that. So we automated a lot of the maintenance process that wasn't driving a great experience. And we've been doing that since 2015.
So I remember when I first met you, probably I was actually before Hurricane Harvey hit, right? And I remember when you, I think you were at one of the NARPM functions over here in Houston, and I was kind of sitting on the fence, kind of watching. I heard all these great things about Property Mallet, how it does with, you know, coordinating maintenance. And you really have to be good at, if you want to manage property, you have to be good at coordinating maintenance, mm-hmm. right? And then Hurricane Harvey hit, and I was still on that fence. I was like, why in the heck didn't I sign up, right? Because then we had just been, I mean, work orders coming out of nowhere, and trying to coordinate that was a beast. So that's when I found, don't be like me and wait for something to happen majorly for you to adopt something like this, because the communication was key to all this. And I think I want you to share a little bit about the communication piece in Property Mail, because that was huge for us.
Yeah, there's really kind of, there's three main reasons why anybody comes and says we need to level up maintenance, and they have a conversation with us. They're either trying to improve their efficiency, which means making their maintenance coordinator be able to do more, or their property managers be able to handle more. That's one. Or technician throughput, if they got internal technicians. The second thing that people will often do is just oversight. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually a lot of the times that some of the negative things happen. Like I had an instance where somebody was talking about, they happened to miss a repair on a home, and actually had like a renter, the ceiling caved in on the renter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's liability.
It happened to us.
Never happened. And so making sure that you've got good processes and oversight of what's happening in your maintenance process is the second thing. And then the third thing is quality. Like resident experience is really important, because that's what drives the renewal, which makes the investor more money. And so if you can keep the resident up to speed and make them feel like they're engaged in part of the process, that makes them happier and lets them know that they're being taken care of. And ultimately, they know when the next step's going to be. So Property Melt uses communication as a way to help facilitate both. We've got a phenomenal communication tool built inside our platform that allows any party to communicate via text or email, being able to obviously see really cool things like what vendors and residents are conversing about, and just making it easy for everyone to basically get on the same page.
That's awesome. The a question I had on that communication aspect, what's your opinion? You run a tech company. What about like the high touch? I think, you know, especially as we evolve with technology, and everybody wants to, and Property Mail does a fabulous job of streamlining all that. But how, in your opinion, number one, do you think it's an importance to have still a,
human
a frequency
touch,
or a high touch, or a level of service or customer service? Or do you think it should all be automated with just technology? And then how does Property Mail do that?
So the way that I kind of, so it was kind of funny. I was in a panel probably like a year ago or 2 years. I don't remember if it was pre or post COVID, but I was on a panel and everybody was talking about this high touch thing. And I was like, hey, who all here uses software? Everybody uses it up. And I'd be like, for the last support issue or thing that you needed help with on your software from your software provider, how many of you called in to the phone number, and like, how many of you prefer to call in? And like, nobody raised their hand, right? So we have this natural thing that like, hey, I love the ability to, but nobody actually wants to. And the thing is, it's not about like the ability to, it's what the user, the end user, is ultimately getting. They want an answer to their question the quickest way possible. And so so when you think about high touch, like the things that I'm very keen on is when you're about to tell an owner they got to change their HVAC system out and it's going to be $5,000, that's a phone call, right? Like, you want to reserve that. But the communication point that says, hey, just a reminder, your appointment's going to be tomorrow at this time, is something that can be happen via automated, and the user gets the same sort of experience. This is actually backed up by some data and some stuff that we've dealt with like we're studying owner retention as it pertains to maintenance. And the thing that we've realized is that the context of the communication is so incredibly important. The amount of communication is kind of arbitrary to the retention of owners, which is interesting. So the context is very important.
Yeah. That's awesome. So one quick thing. So I know you mentioned the residents on renewing their leases. I know one of the number one reasons why tenants don't renew their leases is due to maintenance. Do you have some statistics on that?
Yeah. Other than rent price, it's the number one reason a renter leaves a rental property is their experience with maintenance. It's supposed to be the thing that's so incredible against owning a home that you're supposed to get is like, it's almost like the place just fixes itself, right? Well, if you run into situations where that is like so cumbersome, like my experience and David's experience, then you actually lose that perk and it's a huge driver to leave. It's incredibly important. And so Kingsley did a bit of a report, this is like 5 years ago, where they did a whole bunch of extra surveys. And so this is a well-established fact. But what's even crazier about that is that people don't realize that oftentimes when you're budgeting for return on your investment, your rental investment, you have to budget like 5% for vacancy and another 10% for leasing. And so maintenance is impacting 15% of your NOI in there. So it's mission critical that you do it really well to where a resident wants to renew a lease.
Wow, that's incredible. So, I mean, talking about that, so I know like investors that come to us, I mean, they have obviously some have unrealistic expectations. We have some that don't even budget anything for maintenance, right? Ooh. Which is something that we have to discuss with them daily and setting those expectations because you're right on the return on investment. In order to realize that, you have to budget for those things.
Yeah, it's and maintenance, by the way, so it's 5% for vacancy, 10%, 10.1% for leasing, and it's 12.7% for maintenance. So if any of your guys' customers are out there, that's what you should inherently put in the back of your brain if you can.
That's a it's great expensive. Takeaway there. Thanks, Ray, for that.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question about property mail. Like, so how do you guys even have competition? How do you set yourself apart from the competition, or how do you... What's your thoughts on, you know, other property management software and competing against them and that?
Yeah, so, super great question. So there's a lot of different providers that are fulfilling a need, and sometimes people are more outfitted to do something than we are. So the lane that we really took was there's two key things that we said, if we do this really well, we're gonna not only help our customers, but we're gonna help our customers serve their customers, like be able to be more valuable in that. And it's two things. It's one, we have to make sure that the resident experience is exceptional. And two, we have to help drive the cost to maintain the property down. And so everything around our software platform is around making more efficiency happen, making repair happens faster, keeping the cost down, whatever it is, and the resident happy. So those are kind of our things. Now, if you were to take, there's providers out there that say are complete outsourcing, for example, like let's go in and handle it. Some of them charge just a monthly fee. There's some of them that actually charge, like they'll find your vendors for you and charge a percentage back to you. The thing that we kind of liken it to is we believe that our customer wins if they can drive the cost down for their customers. So our big thing is how to get in there, make it really easy where our customers can do it and don't have to hire or spend more money that would be unnecessary, that's going to cause more friction with your customer, the owner, and the investor.
That was something we really noticed on when we adopted Property Mail was the and Kevin, our maintenance coordinator, maintenance director, he's really got the data on all that, but it's, yeah, the amount of money that we as a company save, which we could pass on, you know, rather than increasing, especially lately, our costs to pay for the labor to coordinate, you know, we saved significantly using the software and we're able to cut those costs and then we didn't have to charge more, or we could even charge less, you know, than maybe we would have had to prior, or especially as labor costs have increased. But let me, another question for you guys. You're in South Dakota. This always like baffles me, like on how it's got to be like number one. We struggle in Houston to find.
I'm like,
talent.
I know where this is
We're
going.
The fourth largest city, so yeah, I've always this is always like I've always questioned. I think I asked you this at dinner one time, but the number one, why there, and number two, do you still like back that decision, especially in tech? To me, it would be like you should be where I'm at in Austin right now, rather than. Yeah. Give me your 2 cents on that. Just recruiting talent.
So the first thing is, why South Dakota? So one, when I graduated school here, there just wasn't a lot of cool opportunities. You had to choose between opportunity and location. And I am in the Black Hills, right at the foothills of the Black Hills. It's probably some of the most incredible places. It's beautiful. There's tons of stuff around. It's an outdoor person's dream. And you got this great city that's right in here. So it's a cool town. But anyways, the opportunities don't exist in some of those things. So coming back to South Dakota was a little bit, Rapid City was a little bit, I legitimately want to live here. I've lived in a lot of places. I've lived in California. I've lived in Oklahoma, Chicago, Baltimore, Denver.
Jeez.
So I fell in love with the place. Yeah, I did a tour. So that's why this place. But, you know, the cool thing is it's got its own challenges, but it's got its own benefits, right? Like, you know, we can be preferred employer in this community because we're a tech company. We're able to take people that have maybe never had an opportunity to do something like that and say, you know what, you're a hardworking person, you're really sharp. We'll give you an at bat and we'll work to try and grow you. And so Property Mount's done a pretty good job of taking people in the local community, elevating them, and they've went on to do bigger and better things. And so part of our brand that we really focus really hard on is like, we're gonna hire some people that maybe don't know what they're doing, and we're gonna work really hard to develop them. And everything in our company, we try to our best, make sure that that's fulfilled. And that becomes like a real staple of the community, that it's like, you don't just go to Property Meld because you want to be in tech. You go to Property Meld because you want to learn something, you want to develop, you want to be personally challenged. And so by getting kind of a hard lock on that, it's allowed us to be preferred in a lot of ways.
And I personally have seen that. I think you guys do an amazing job, and the culture you've created there, like, who wouldn't want to work for you? Talk a little bit about
a lot of people.
Talk about your culture. Every time I see you on, you know, you're only on LinkedIn, but your staff, you know, they're having an amazing time working, and they have fun and they love doing it.
These are incredibly hardworking people. Like, these folks, being in a startup is not for everyone. And it took me some time to learn that, because, you know, when you're, an entrepreneur and you're doing the thing, your kind of own tolerance of life is whatever, misery. Mm-hmm. Let's use, for example, I'm kidding, kind of. But you forget that sometimes these people coming in went from a regular job and they're coming into this, which is seemingly, you know, this personal development combination pressure cooker. And so the people that we do have are insatiably hardworking. These are not people that screw off, but man, we try our best. That when we get the opportunity to, we really ham it up. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate that, because to me, it's like, and I appreciate your honesty and feedback on it, because I think it's cool that you can start a company, you know, that is where, number one, you first and foremost, where you want to live and build something, but also, I think it gives hope to people that maybe are in a market that you wouldn't think, you know, would be a traditional route to start a company. And so I think that's cool. So.
No, thanks. Technology makes it a little bit easier. It really does. Like the invention of Zoom, like I remember when we first started, we had GoToMeeting. No offense to all the GoToMeeting out there, but it's a lot easier now than it probably was a while ago. And we still have distributed team members as well. So we don't have them all here, but we try and get as many here as possible, because when you get to have those, we joke that we call them meld moments, where two people are literally talking about something else and have an inspiration that's interesting, exciting, or a moment that they get a bond over something. We call those meld moments, a joke there. But so we try our best to do that.
Yeah. So do you do the whole heart and everything?
I can't do it. I don't know. Some people are really good at it. I'm not.
So, and what's your guys' next? Just curious for you and for Property Mount, where are you guys headed?
So the big thing is we're launching, you know, the industry is, people forget this industry is still very new. Like it is not a mature industry. It's really only picked up in 08, 09 housing crash is where a lot of people got serious about managing rentals in scale. And, but it's still super early. So where it sits today is there's still a lot of people that aren't sold that you can run better and better with better tooling, better scale, everything else like that, maintenance on properties. So I liken it to maintenance is kind of like probably what auto care was before preventative, you know, where you just wait for stuff to break and then you take it in the shop and you just, that's how you, you just wait till it stops working and go, very expensive. Well, then as the industry matured and the car industry matured, you had oil changes, you had check engine lights, you had all these things that helped you run a better car that kept it up running at a lower cost. And so we're starting to bring some of those principles that a lot of other industries have done. And so our next thing that we're very much focusing on is preventative and predictive maintenance. Mm. Catching failures before they catch you. It delivers a great resident experience. It's much lower cost. The investor gets a heck of a, they get a break and better NOI. Mm-hmm. And our customers are not constantly playing firefighting, right? I always joke that how great would it be to make all the HVAC changes you needed to in February? That would be great.
That would be awesome.
So that's the next thing that we're really pushing on and working on. We've actually got some products that are out there that are starting to facilitate that. They're in beta.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's probably going to be a, like a ramp up where you had to almost sell the investor on doing that because they never want to spend money. But if you can show them, you know, and show them the long-term benefits that they're getting. And then, like you said, as more and more adopt it, then it's like, nobody would question an oil change today, you know?
And the nice thing is we have parallel industries that have conditioned people that preventative is good. Like, in every other way, you go to the dentist, preventative is good. Right. You go to the doctor, preventative is good. You go to the car place, preventative is good. So being able to bring over preventative that is seen as very much a positive cost reducing thing in every other aspect of their life. If we can sit there and show, like, data wise, be like, hey, you make this investment, the statistical likelihood is here. People are going to go all day. Boom. And so the nice thing is we're not fighting an uphill battle as much as probably it would be if preventative wasn't seen so positive in parallel aspects of life.
Yeah.
So, well, it's been fun to see your growth. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, newer property managers and just newer people listening to the show. So if you were just starting out and go back in your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself?
Or as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I actually think one of the best things that a young entrepreneur can do is actually to go learn from somebody else and go get some life experience first. Learning how to run budgets and finances, learning how to manage people, learning how to convince people of ideas, you know, and so the average age of a successful entrepreneur that starts out is 40 years old. And there's a reason for that. They get to go learn some stuff. Parallel, I know everybody watches Social Network and those other shows where you have Mark Zuckerberg dropping out of college and going to becoming a multi-billionaire. That's not the path everyone takes. It's just the one that gets a lot of attention. If I could give myself advice, is just learn, go work for somebody where you can learn a lot. And put that as like your laser focus, is you're choosing who to work for based almost exclusively on that. That would probably be the advice, and I probably would have saved myself some headaches along the way if I was able to do that. What advice would you guys give somebody? Because that's a good question.
Coaching and mentorship, I think when we started off, for me anyway, that was key. We would not be where we're at today without our coaches and mentors along the way, so for sure. I don't know about Sean.
there's a lot of ways to answer this. But I mean, I think it's hard to answer with it depends on the person. I think Joni and I started so young that there was nothing we could lose. We were broke.
Fear, we call it naive.
Not a lot of financial wealth yet at that time. So we, like, the risk we took, you know, we could afford to totally fail and flop and get back up and rebuild again. Now telling somebody that has kids and you know, of obligations and it might be a little different story. You know, it might be you truly need, well, everybody needs a mentorship and somebody to hold their hand. And that's what helped us in the beginning, even though we were young, you know, we did have a couple people that got us started, that really walked us through step by step and were there. They had a financial gain to all of it as well, but they at least took us under their wing until we could do it on our own. But so I guess it depend on who I was speaking with, but because I think, as you know, it's a roller coaster ride in the beginning.
Oof.
And it's
still is. When does it get over? Can you tell me?
Yeah. Eventually, yes. And then there's a point where I think you come to where like there's a little fear of losing.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked so hard. It's like,
yeah.
Yep.
I do not want to start over right now.
Oof. No, yeah. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Yeah. I'll tell you a fun. So I think that whole thing of, you know, I think it becomes harder as you get older because you have less that you can lose, mm-hmm. like you require more stability. We launched Property Meld. I was firstborn child, by the way. So this is like how you, if anybody wants advice on how to win over an in-law, this is how you do it. You have a job, you move their daughter all over the country. And then one day you say, I'm quitting my job. I know I'm the breadwinner and I know I'm going to $0 and I know your daughter's pregnant, but trust me, this is when to start a business. And we actually launched Property Meld. I was still in the hospital with my firstborn kid, probably 3 days in on my laptop. So it's not a very fond story for some people.
A little scary.
Not in the room, but,
I give kudos to your wife though.
Yeah, she's a trooper. For sure.
Do you feel that entrepreneurs are born or created?
Ooh, good question. You know, I think that the thing that I've probably learned about people is there's underlying motivations of why people are the way that they are. Could be you're trying to prove the world wrong. Could be that nobody believed in you. Could be that your only sense of like worth is through accomplishment. There's different things that people value really heavily that like is this weird internal engine that is crazy powerful.
Yeah.
And I just think those need to be so powerful, whatever they are, that they're willing to tolerate the nonsense that entrepreneurial can bring you. And so it's gotta be stronger, whatever it is. So to answer your question, I think they're made. I think entrepreneurs are made, and something is happening along their early life that defines their value, that they feel like they have to do something bigger than doing something else.
Did you read my book or something, or read my mind? I was like, wow,
no, is that in there?
He's researched you, I'm sure. Just
because no, that was that defines I think myself and Joni as well. But like that whole, it drove me for years, and it was so. It's weird how powerful that makes. It's really negative, but it's you know, I would drove.
Do you think?
I
don't think so.
But if
I think
you hear awesome.
It's coming. From, yeah, you're running away from something or trying to prove something, you know, but it,
I couldn't disagree more. I think the thing that's really cool, like I can remember moments where somebody told me, like, I remember very early on, I was a plant manager at this one place in Baltimore. I was on an upward trajectory there. And then I go and like ask this guy, and I remember his name, I'm not going to mention it. And I sat there and walked with him, and he said, man, where are you from? What school did you go to? Dude, you're never going to get money. Told me that. To this day, I want to like call him. Like, but it motivated me so much that I just kept remembering that. And I've almost had to pick boogeymen that like didn't believe in what we were going to accomplish. And even if I had to manufacture them, because it's like, man, then get out of my way. Like, this is, I think it's so important to just realize it.
Yeah.
And then use it.
I totally agree.
I think you'll come, and maybe you've already gotten here. I think you'll come to a point in your life, though, you'll realize that that takes you so far. And then you got to start figuring out there's got to be more to life than, because like that guy could care less of where you are today, if you really think about it. And he probably has no clue. he maybe not doesn't even remember your name anymore. And maybe he does, but.
Ray's like, I know he knows me.
I hope he does. I actually messaged him 6 days ago. No, I'm kidding.
But I think, you know, for myself, just speaking for myself, I had to come to like, okay, now there's a next evolution. And it was more about, to for myself, it was impact and impact of the people around me. And it became more about what can I contribute to the world rather than that other drive. And, but anyways.
You're 100% correct. And I've got those, like, personal development's probably one of mine, and then impact. Like, I feel like I'm constantly learning. I feel like if I'm having impact outside of myself, that's why I'm still here. But I actually, you know, and I don't know if it's worthy of doing it, I'm going to throw out five attributes of upside. And you tell me if these are all things that are required to make an entrepreneur, because we're trying to figure out in our own company, like, hey, who's got upside just usually means, can they go through some stuff? Can they learn? Mm-hmm. And I've exercised this out with every entrepreneur I know, because every entrepreneur has upside, right? Mm-hmm. It's the only way that you can go from where you are to where you are now. So the first one is grit. Like, can you trudge through the crap? Do you run towards the problems? Or do you run away from it? That's the first one. The second one is ambition. And I think, like, you know, you talk about not having somebody believe in you, you having this vision of yourself that is a lot bigger than where you are at is like a second one. Third one is, how intellectually curious are you? Are you interested and you're just constantly curious about the next thing? Like, you just keep thinking about how to make things better. Fourth is humility, is the ability to absorb the lessons that life is going to inevitably hit you across the face with and learn from them. And then fifth, how good are you communicating those things out? So those are the five things. I'm curious, you guys are entrepreneurs. Would you guys score yourself?
1,000%. Have you been reading? I think you have been looking at stuff.
Gosh dang.
So you wanted us to score ourselves on?
One, two, or three. Well, this is just for your own personal thing. Like, if you go back, I'd love for your answers to come back. But one, two, or three, with three being a really strong strength, two being kind of in the middle of the pack, one being a weakness. Do you score all three on all of those? Would be my question.
Mine would be all three, except for the communication piece, probably a two.
So Joni and I are on the same page. I think we weren't great communicators. I think Joni was a much better communicator than she thinks she was. I used to, in the beginning days, like, we had to make important phone calls. And so, like, I would make Joni make the phone call, and then I would sit there behind her. I think, yeah, communication would be the one that would have struggled, given a 3-2. I think grit,
and ambition.
We hire a lot of times off grit. In the property management industry, you need a lot of grit.
You have to.
How thick is your skin? You're like measuring it. I'm going to say 10 things to you that are all politically charged. I want to know which ones are going to roll off.
So we have a good friend, and he's probably a client of yours as well, but he gets a lot of his employees. They do internships, but it's through a Christian college. And so, like, that was one of the things that he really had to talk about in the interviews and in the hiring process, was like, because these kids are like, you know,
Kangol.
Never been cussed at, never been, you know.
They F-bomb me, what?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, it's a thing to hire for if you can.
Yep. For sure.
So since you're a reader and self-development, any good books, you would recommend?
I always read for purpose. Like, I'm not a person that just, like, goes, ooh, what's selling? I, like, have a problem and then I go read a book about it. Navigating COVID and all that stuff. There was a book that I became really, really impressed with, was It's Your Ship. I got recommended that by a friend. Phenomenal culture book, like how to basically unify teams and some of the other things that are there. Can't say that I've applied all the lessons super well, but that's a really phenomenal book. And then I have three books that I encourage every single person to read, no matter if you're people leadership or you're just trying to convince some people of stuff. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the greatest. I read the book twice. Yeah. Actually, I've realized that most of the books that I love, I've read twice. But that was probably one that really changed my mind on how to communicate with people. The second one is Zig Ziglar, Secrets of Clothing, The Sale. It's basically ethical sales. It's like, how do you become a person that really marries up problems and solutions and do so in a meaningfully in a good way? And then the third one, oh, and it's such a good read just anyways, Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss. Read that one back to back in a row. Not only just the most phenomenal thing, but just so many applications on how to navigate the emotions of human beings. Those are all super great. Sorry, you wanted one book and I...
Oh, I love it. Yeah. We always get our listeners ask us. Yes, that's great.
So how can people get a hold of you, follow you? I know you're a big social media guy, so
he's a big LinkedIn guy. I don't know. MySpace, Friendster,
LinkedIn.
And how can people get a hold of you if they want to reach out and touch more on Property Meld?
Yeah. So if you're looking about Property Meld, our services, propertymeld.com, www.propertymeld.com. You can see what we do, what we focus on, see if the problems that you're experiencing, we touch on. So that's a great thing. Or, you know, I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. It's where I usually kind of drop the data and information that we're kind of peeling out of the over 300,000 rental properties that we have on our platform to basically give insights to what's going on in the industry. So depending on what you're looking for, those would be the two places. But love to connect with you either way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ray, for joining us here today. And for the listeners out there, thanks again for tuning in to Inside the Wolf's Den. If you like the episode, please give us a like, thumbs up. Comments are always wonderful, and feedback. And if you're looking to look more into Property Mail, please reach out to Ray and his team. They're awesome if you're in the property management industry. So thanks again, guys, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.